The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
All right, back on track. That one felt a lot more fun than the last couple of days here at American Family Field. Brewers win 6-2. A lot of good to come out of this one. I'm Dominic Catronio. They couldn't lose on Ryan Braun's day. Come on, you knew that wasn't going to happen. Brewers get back on track with a victory. They finally get to that nice round even number to 60 wins. They are 60 and 45 now on the season. Still in first place in the Central and still by 6 games because the Cardinals also won earlier today. The Brewers' big contributors included Jake Bowers, a couple of hits, including a two-run shot. Jackson Churio hit his 11th home run of the year as a 20-year-old. Bryce Terang had a couple of hits and two game-changing defensive plays as well. I've got my player of the game poll up on Twitter, at @Dom_Catronio. And, of course, Terang is running away with that vote right now. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. And let's also remind you, the game started very first pitch of the game. See you later. Home run. Tobias Myers gave up a leadoff shot again. It's the third time in his young career that he's done that, second time on the first pitch of a game. The other, of course, was the first pitch as a big leaguer when he gave up a solo homer to Andrew McCutchen in his very first pitch back in April. But he was able to wrestle with not the best command for him today. He hit three batters. I know he only had one walk, but the three hit-by-pitches, a lot of stress, a lot of extra pitches than maybe he would have anticipated. 74 pitches through four. He was getting ready to face the top of the order once again, and the Brewers decided, you know what? The Bridge bullpen is fresh. They went to Jacob Junis. He was fantastic for two innings, really stabilizing this game, especially leaving two stranded in the fifth. And then they went to Yoel Piamps, trying to get him back on track in the seventh. Hobie Milner had a perfect eighth, and then hand the ball to Devin Williams in the ninth. I think they always knew Devin was going to have the ninth inning today, regardless if it was 10-0 or 0-10. I'm sure they maybe would have maybe avoided if it was like a one-run game, or maybe they would have given it to him. But I knew Devin was going to find a way to get into today's game today, which was part of the reason why Tobias was shorter by design, I imagine, given how stressful it was early in the contest for him. It's been a minute since we've seen a start like this from Tobias Myers. He's certainly built a little bit of goodwill to have a shorter one like this, and the bullpen was prepared for it. You had Junis ready to go. You had Wilson ready to go. You had Devin. Maybe even had Nick Nears. You knew you had McGill. McGill hasn't pitched all weekend, and it was a great, great win for the Brewers. 6-2 the final today over the Marlins. Offense stepped up, finally got more than three runs for the first time since the Minnesota series last weekend. So that's a good sign to get back on track in that regard. And the offense picking up their pitching today. And despite allowing a cycle on the other side to Xavier Edwards, they only allowed two runs. In fact, that's only the second time in baseball history that the team that hit for the cycle only scored two runs or fewer. It's the fewest that you really can score, if you think about it. I guess one, technically, with a solo homer, then you get left stranded at third after a triple. But the fact that they only scored two runs and a guy hit for a cycle was pretty important. I thought the Brewers, and they did not retire Xavier Edwards today. And I may not get a chance to get this in otherwise, but I want to make this clear too. This top three in the order, Xavier Edwards, Brian De La Cruz, Josh Bell, they've been rejected from other teams. Xavier Edwards, formerly a Rays prospect. Brian De La Cruz, formerly an Astros prospect. Josh Bell, of course, a Pirate for a long time. Now he's here with the Marlins, and he was placed on waivers before today's game, which makes zero sense to me. Why not wait to do that until after the trade deadline? But for some reason, nobody wants Josh Bell and how well he's been playing. But man, Xavier Edwards has got some tools, and he's white hot right now. Give him some kudos, because I know the Marlins have struggled this year. It's not because of their offense entirely, and their ballpark certainly suppresses offense too. Not having Sandy Alcantara, not having Yuri Perez, not having Jesus Luzardo, not having Max Meyer, not having a lot of star talent on their rotation has certainly been a big reason why they have struggled this year, and you can see the talent coming on the offensive side of the baseball. They're not as bad as you think they are. I really believe that. But with that being said, the Brewers got a win they absolutely needed to get today. I'm not saying, oh my God, the season was going to be over if they didn't win today. But just sort of like that last game before the All-Star break, get one, get back on track and get ready for the Braves that come to town for these next 3 days, because I know the Braves are a little bit depleted right now, and they haven't been playing their best baseball. Granted, they got hot these last two games against the Mets. They won again today, 9-2. Matt Olson is getting hot. Matt Olson, another home run today, and that one came off of a lefty. Austin Riley hit a home run today as well. They are still a dangerous offense. It's just a question of how much of the pitching are they going to be able to deliver for this series. So the Brewers have an opportunity to kind of right the ship here, just win a series against the Braves, and everyone's going to feel a lot less pressure, a little more of an exhale, because both of these teams are going to be coming in kind of playing tight, if we're being honest. The Braves are not going to win the East. They want to make sure they stick to things here in the standings and the wild card in the National League. Right now, they have the top wild card spot by only by a game and a half. They're a game clear of San Diego and a game and a half clear of that third spot. So this wild card could literally get very, very wild here down the stretch. Again, Atlanta's in first, San Diego's in second, Arizona and New York are tied, but Arizona's in the lead on the Pirates right now, so they have a chance to sweep the Pirates, keep themselves in the three spot, then St. Louis is a game back, then Pittsburgh is 2.5 back, and that could be 3 back by the end of the day. Craig Kishon's joining us here, and the comment I was making there, Craig, is the fact that while you never want to say it's a must-win game in July, this is the closest thing to it. I feel the same way leaving the ballpark today as I did two Sundays ago right before the All-Star break, where it's just exhale, you got it done, you know what you're capable of.
Yeah, and they've been through situations like this before, Dom, and I think the bottom line, in my opinion, once again, they're making sure that if they do get into a funk, it doesn't last for very long. And they still haven't had a losing streak longer than 3 games yet this season. And so they're in jeopardy of doing that and whatnot. And they just needed to get some offense cranked out. They needed to get the lead back early. They've been playing behind for such a long time. But I agree. I mean, I had this marked the same way. I mean, look who you're playing for starters. And this Miami team just came out, with guns a-blazing. And sometimes you win that way, but that's hard to sustain if you're not as talented as the team you're playing. And clearly, I'll look at this Brewer team and say they're superior, even though they had a tough season series against these guys. But they're in the rearview mirror now. Braves are coming to town tomorrow, and hopefully they'll play with the stakes up high.
The biggest plays of this game, though, were in the third inning, and bases loaded, one out. 5-6 due up, Jesus Sanchez and Otto Lopez. And Tobias, he didn't have his best command today, but he got ahead of them with 2 strikes on both accounts, and he just couldn't quite put them away. And Sanchez, on a changeup, breaks his bat, soft liner to the right side between the 3-4 hole, and Terang, diving to his left, saved at least one run, maybe 2 runs, makes a great play there. Then Otto Lopez, the very next batter on the 7th pitch of his at-bat, lines one harder back up the middle, and Terang, diving to his right this time, makes an incredible catch. Saves multiple runs off the board. He came into today leading all of baseball in defensive runs saved with 14 of them. That's not exactly how it's counted. It's not like, oh, he saved 4 runs right there or anything. It's not how it's counted, but you're going to see a boost in that tomorrow, to say the least. Devin Williams commenting after the game, give him the platinum glove now, and quite frankly, he's got a case for it. That changed the entire complexion of the game.
I've seen a lot of baseball. I've seen a single defensive player make 2 great plays like that, maybe 3 even, throughout the entirety of a game. I've never seen anybody do that on consecutive plays. And yes, it was in the third inning, but the way the offense is going, you didn't know how much more the Brewers were going to score early in the game. So the defense had to come to play. And I think the defense has had trouble making big plays like that this entire week, to be honest with you. But today, all goes in baseball. It'll come around eventually, and it certainly did. But the way that he was able to use his athleticism, his instincts to the ball are off the charts. Everything about him is quick and accurate. And to see that on consecutive plays in 2 different directions, tell me somebody else who's done that in that same form. I just have never seen it before.
Yeah, he honestly, I was really mad when he didn't win the Gold Glove, didn't get consideration for it last year. I will throw on a full protest if he does not at least get a finalist nod. But quite frankly, there is nobody better. And I'm lucky enough to travel a lot to do the national broadcasts, to do TBS, and to do the postseason. There's nobody better. I'm sorry. And this could be a little bit of bias, but no, it's not. I look at the numbers. I look at the film. He's better than Marcus Semien, who's right there with him in defensive run saved. He's better than Andrés Giménez, who's right there with him as well. He is the best second baseman in the game. He's been proving it year over year over year, and he's the reason why the Brewers won. Not even so much with the bat, because he had a clutch RBI knock later in this game. He is the reason the Brewers won this game. Not the pitching, not the offense. It's Bryce Turang.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dom. I was chatting with somebody the other day about this, how the last few years, just of guys maybe, you know, your right-handed hitters going to right field maybe more by intention than they used to in the past. And then because the shift rules now have come into play, you have maybe more success with left-handed hitters with balls going into play over on that right side. I feel like second base defensively is becoming the key spot in the infield now, more what shortstop used to be back in the day. I just feel that trend happening just based on just alone what Turang is able to do. When he doesn't make a play like this, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he didn't make that. But he's had, I think he has more chances than anybody else in that infield. But I just feel like the spot he's playing right now is to me is equal or more important than the shortstop spot. Maybe I'm nuts to say that, but it sure feels that way.
It's been, I think you're onto something there, dude. I really do think so. And Turang, man, I he needed this, especially with the bat, but to see that the glove can always show up is just a really, really cool thing to see in a guy that really needed it. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, this is Nick. Glad to salvage a win in this series and with Devin back. Think the Brewers should make a trade sooner than later with the moves made around the league today. Well, I mean, sooner than later, they've got 48 hours to make a trade, so they better make it pretty quick there, Nick, if they're going to make a move for a starting pitcher. This one from Aaron in Illinois, absolutely needed that one in the worst way. Bryce Turang's no question the player of the game, and his two defensive plays in the third. Reese is really starting to have some good ABs here. With all the injuries this year, you really have to tip the cap to Murph and this team. 15 games over 500, 105 games in. I agree. All of that great stuff as well. Take our first break of the show. Come back with more with Craig after this on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio with Craig Kishon. Closing out the weekend with a victory 6-2 over the Marlins. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. Let's talk a little offense here, Craig, because we spent a lot of time talking to Turang. I thought another big moment of this, yes, Tobias escaped after only allowing the one run on the leadoff shot in the first. I thought it was so huge for the Brewers to not only avoid the shutdown inning, it would have been fine if they just tied the game, but the fact that they took the lead in the bottom of the first inning, and Jake Bowers, who currently has my vote for unsung hero award, because this dude has come in, he's played great defense, he doesn't play every day, it's hard to hit every day, and he's filled in when Reese was hurt, he's had hot stretches, he's had cold stretches, but man, for him to have the game that he had today, and to see, even yesterday he had some great ABs too, Jake Bowers setting the tone in the first inning, a no-doubter to right field, love to see that from JB.
Well, and he's got the confidence of Pat Murphy as well, if you just think about how this has gone in that outfield since Yelich went down, and even before they officially put him on the injured list, he was DHing a lot. So he went with his young guys, you know, all three spots out in that outfield. Bowers hasn't been out there in a while. Obviously, he can play there. But I think he saw, Murph did, that they needed to ignite this offense somehow. And Bowers is very capable of driving the ball, obviously. I mean, that's his forte. And to do that in the opening frame, playing left field, had a nice couple of catches out there in the outfield as well. I mean, this guy can fill a lot of roles. And And to be able to, you know, come up with a triple in the fifth inning as well, drew a walk in the seventh. I mean, this guy was on base three times here today. No reason to say this guy shouldn't be somewhere in the lineup again tomorrow. You got to keep this offense in high gear here right now. I think, you know, Hoskins is starting to heat up as well. He was on base three times. But these two guys, I mean, their batting averages are low, but what they bring in value when they are hot and they do start driving the ball and hit some home runs, it's gotta be the generator for this offense right now.
I agree. And you mentioned the left field, too. I thought that's another little feather in the cap to remind you that, yeah, he can play left field as well. And we might see him a little bit more often there, given the Brewers need to have some lineup balance with left-handed hitters that can hit for power, not just so much singles hitters and doubles hitters like Terang and Frelick and Mitchell are. Now, Mitchell's hit a home run this year, and Mitchell had a good game today as well. He was not retired in his three trips to the plate, too. But being left-handed, having some pop while Yelich is out is going to be very important for Jake Bowers. And I don't think it's a coincidence, too. He had such a great game today. He saw 32 pitches in his four plate appearances yesterday, including that great 10-pitch battle that he had earlier. He had a 12-pitch battle yesterday ahead of the home run, and I thought he was really locked in. You mentioned Reese as well, and I tweeted a graph earlier in the week when I was doing some prep for Brewers Weekly back on Thursday. His rolling averages of how much he's producing and what his walk rate is. And it may seem obvious that those two things are correlated. Like, well, of course, you're going to be producing better when you're drawing walks, but they are directly correlated. I mean, he is struggling when he's not drawing walks. And when he's got a higher walk rate, he's starting to hit more homers and understanding the strike zone, swinging strike decisions, you know, when you're hitting, when you're deciding to pull the trigger. And yes, he had two walks today, which I think is significant. He pounded a sac fly, which was significant. And he had an 0-2 single on a pitcher that was trying to pitch him backwards. He got a cutter down the middle and did not miss it. The last few days, two homers, the last two games, and today with some great ABs indicate this dude, the stove is turned on, if you will, and we're starting to see the bubbles and that water start to boil here soon.
And the thing I like about it too, Don, with all the things you mentioned with Hoskins, we've seen the power the last few days in this week with some home runs from Reese. Obviously, he's got 17 on the season. But then if he's starting to see the ball a little better, maybe he woke up a little bit doing what he does best, and that's driving the ball. And then drawing those walks today, hitting a single, you're like, wow, Reese Hoskins single. This is good stuff. This is going to add up to something. I love to sacrifice fly. I really, you know, I'm going to pound my feet down the ground and the fist on the counter here, because I want to see more of that out of this Brewer team. And you've got a guy at third with less than two outs, and he drove the ball kind of the opposite way to center field. So, I mean, he did everything right in this game, and he proved that in all four at-bats, he's seeing the ball really, really well right now. So, you know, keep it rolling, Reese. You know, when the Braves are coming to town tomorrow, this team's going to need it. You get three more games here in this home ballpark, and it would be great if he could make it his here in the next 2 months.
And you mentioned the runner on third, less than two outs. We talk about a lot how the Brewers are successful with runners in scoring position, but that's kind of been one of the areas they've really struggled in. Part of that is because they've had a lot more opportunities than maybe, say, the average team. But we can actually track this sort of thing and how efficient you are at when are you able to score a runner from third with less than two outs. Why is that so important? Because, well, an out can score a run. Generally, the infield isn't going to be in, or you're able to hit a sacrifice fly or just get a base hit, that sort of thing. The Brewers, coming into today, were at 48% scoring less than half the time that they're able to score a runner from third with less than two outs. That is toward the bottom third in baseball and 3 points below league average. Now, if there's solace in this, is that they have some good company around them. They have, you know, a team that's in a wild card position in the New York Mets. They have the Baltimore Orioles near them as well. The Dodgers are near them as well. So it's not rare to struggle with a runner on third and less than two outs, but that's been a theme all season long. And a veteran like Reese getting the job done, adding some insurance. Little did we know that that would be the last run of the day for the Brew Crew. A little swinging bunt back in the fourth inning as well. But the last bit on the offense here, Terang, yes, he had a clutch RBI single in the fourth inning, But it was the style for me in the which that Bryce Terang got the job done today. Doing what we saw him do in the first half. Just spray singles the other way. Two strike count, no big deal. Ambushing, no big deal. Being able to control the zone, let the ball travel, and hit it the other way.
Yeah, he looked, Terang did, like his old self for sure. And you need games like this where you do what you want to do by taking the ball the other way, wherever it's pitched, all the things that you just said. And then we talked about his defense earlier. This should be, look, Bryce hasn't had a complete game like this in, what, 3-4 weeks, if not longer. So these things are huge. I think there were a lot of things that weren't so little that happened to a lot of guys here in this game, but this is baseball. This is what gets you to that next game. This is what gets you, hot. This is what gets, maybe one guy to start carrying the offense where, you get three or four other guys around you that can just contribute, one by one. I think today is one of those examples that we saw because, we saw the power with Bowers. He had the home run and the triple, what Churio was able to do. But Bryce is setting the tone at the top of the order, and today he looked like that true leadoff hitter.
He was great. He was fantastic, to say the least, for Terang to get. Oh, and I didn't even mention the 20-year-old who hit his 11th home run of the season today. Ho-hum. Yeah. what a luxury to have right now.
Well, he is. I mean, look, he's having a great July. You can measure his success any way you want. At last 7 games, I mean, Jackson Churio is just – he's doing everything right. I mean, he had one hit today, but it was the home run in that 5th inning. I mean, anything you can do to add on and to build leads. And today, it was almost each hit the Brewers had. They only had the 2-run home run. Everything else that produced runs were single swings. So this guy is just continues to impress. With Ryan Braun here today, I know you were doing stats on the TV side, and I thought BA and Rock on the broadcast after Brian left and Ryan Braun left in the middle of the game from his interview brought up a really good point about how the baton is passed, and Ryan had it when he was young, and he had it for 14 years. He was the face of the franchise, and now he's their Hall of Famer, within. And now Jackson Churio, we all know he's the future face of the franchise here right now. And he does not mind stepping in the mirror and smiling and hitting and producing. And that's kind of ironic how this day went, that he ends up hitting a home run on the day we celebrate Ryan Braun.
Pretty kind of if you want to get a little, how can you not be romantic about baseball or cinematic?
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
A little bit, it's pretty sweet, man. It's not a coincidence, I don't think. Baseball gods like to do stuff like this a lot, so I thought that was really, really cool. We'll keep you for one more. We'll talk a little bullpen and some trade deadline here coming up next, because obviously Devin Williams coming back today was huge, but there's another piece of the bullpen that's here as well. We'll talk about that coming up next. Brewers win 6-2 on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back, Dom Catronio, Craig Kishon. One more segment with Craig, and we'll roll on with the program till the top of the hour. The Brewers win today 6-2. Devin Williams had the 9th inning. It wasn't a save situation. It got a little stressful, but he got the job done. He came back, got a soft landing, if you will, Craig. I think we all knew that Devin was going to pitch today. There's no other reason to activate him if he wasn't going to be available to pitch today. And we heard from some reaction earlier today in the clubhouse of just having Devin back. It's a psychological boost. It's a psychological lift. But let's also talk a little baseball here. This is a massive lift for a bullpen that needs a guy. Not that Trevor McGill's been doing a bad job, because he was fantastic while Devin was gone. But, man, this just shortens up the game a little bit more with Devin coming back.
I think that is the bottom line. You don't need a closer right now. Like if Williams wasn't on this team right now, I think that'd be the last thing that Matt Arnold would be looking for at this point, just the way that McGill has been able to go. And before McGill had this job full time, the Brewers have logged up plenty of saves. I mean, they're still way among the league leaders in saves in the National League. But what it does is, it obviously, you just added an all-star and one of the best closers in the last 10 years to the game of baseball, to your staff, somebody that was missing for 104 games. And so you're right. Now you can bump all your star guys and your back end guys down a bit. And we've seen examples of how Williams could have been needed sooner this week. I know he could only come back today was the soonest date, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just huge. And now you got Nick Mears coming in as well. We haven't even seen him pitch yet, but I think the team and the franchise is kind of chomping at the bit to form him into the Brewer pitcher out of the bullpen and see what he can do as well. So two huge additions over the last couple of days. There's no question about that.
He's been great. And the velo is a little bit up. I'm sure that was some adrenaline for him, to say the least. But let's talk a little bit Nick Mears, too. He just arrived at camp today. He was active for today's game. I imagine we'll see him tomorrow or Tuesday at the latest. Here's a guy that I explained on the show when the trade went down. I know some people see a 5.50 ERA, and we talked about it yesterday. But when he arrived today and sort of explained his situation with Colorado, that in the first half of the season, he was tipping pitches. Essentially, he was doing a nervous tick or doing some sort of move that tells the hitter what's coming. And it had been caught on, and the word spreads like wildfire when that happens. But somehow, that word did not make it back into his clubhouse. It was a friend of a friend, not even a teammate, that told him he was tipping his pitches. And I'm not trying to bury the Rockies while they're down, but at the same time, it's like, this is what kind of goes into why they aren't able to develop pitching. They can't, you know, keep their own things in order, not being able to recognize one of their best toolsy arms is tipping pitches. And he fixes it, and it explains over his last 17 outings, he's got a sub-2 ERA. He's been fantastic. And the Brewers did their due diligence and made a great move, in my opinion. We did the Corvette example yesterday, and I'm excited to see Nick Mears go tomorrow.
Yeah, I am too, because, I mean, look, if he can really bring it the way we think he can, you know, look out, man. You know, the window is starting to shrink as far as time to the playoffs here, and so you get somebody in that's going to be even that much more effective. I agree with you. I mean, you know, it's funny, the tipping of the pitches stories that you hear from time to time. I'm not going to say that story that you just shared is rare either. I mean, there, when you realize you're tipping pitches, sometimes they come in the strangest form. But look, when you do and you figure it out, usually if you have a quality pitcher, you see a quick turnaround in effectiveness and results. And now you're looking at that time, what is it, 17 or 18 appearances where that ERA is under 2. You know this guy's got the stuff. I have a feeling is going to be not only a good trade for now, but in the future. And I think that's what excites Matt Arnold and his staff a lot.
And I know there's no options, but the multiple years of control indicate that he is going to be in this bullpen for quite a while, and they're excited of what they can create out of Nick Mears. So let's also just take a second to dream here. And we got good news on Brian Hudson, a grade 1 obliques. Now, obliques can stick around. He thinks he'll be staying the minimum. I don't know how to tell Brian this. You're not going to be staying the minimum time on the injured list with this organization and how valuable you are to the bullpen. With that being said, I don't care how many innings he pitches in August. I want to make sure that dude is ready to go, hopefully, on October 1st when the Brewers are in the postseason. But for Brian Hudson, let's dream for a second here. We know what Nick Mears sits 97 with a velo and a great slider. We know what McGill is capable of. We know what Williams is capable of. Jared Koenig has thrown himself onto the scene. You know Hudson is going to be in leverage as well. Maybe even J.B. Bukauskas can be considered in leverage too. I mean, that's 5-6 guys that you're like, oh my goodness. Like, that is a, forgive me for bringing up this team, that's a 2018-esque bullpen right there. That is something that can really, really excite and scare teams in the postseason.
Absolutely. And you know, Dom, we don't know how much even more they're going to be relied on, because we're not sure what is going to happen with this starting staff moving forward as well. Is it, you know, is there going to be addition from outside? Is there going to be an addition called up? Are they going to kind of stick with how they've done things here over this first 4 months of the season? And that's just continue to rely on one another, and perhaps, you know, do that opener, whatever the case may be. the bullpen, I mean, they're going to take this team to the playoffs. They've taken this team to first place six games in the division up through now. And we're obviously, you know, four full months into this thing, and they are going to be the factor to get them to the postseason, to get them in the certain seating in the National League in the playoffs. And hopefully they're going to carry them deep into playoff contention as well. Once that all gets underway, I really believe, you know, put an asterisk on it. I mean, it's going to be the bottom line for this team right now.
I agree. I think the bullpen is how they succeed, and it helps to have Joe Ross come back. If you can start getting some length from what will likely be a more traditional starting rotation now moving forward, where you'll have Freddie, Ray, Myers, Ross all in there as traditional starters. And Savali can be piggybacked as well, but Savali can be considered a traditional starter too. And you have Hall coming back, and you'll have length with Junis available, and then you've got the five guys that I mentioned. That can be pretty exciting. Craig, appreciate you as always for joining us this weekend. Be a minute since I talk to you again, but appreciate you, and hopefully you're hanging out, relaxing, and enjoy the day here with Ryan Braun, reliving some memories.
All right, sounds good, Don. Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We'll hear from Bryce Terang coming up next. He talked to Lane Grindle on the network postgame after this on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
A couple of texts have rolled in here about the lineup. Let's talk about that. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win. Fun time. 6-2. This one was a good question. Austin from Poinette. Hey, Dom, do you think Churio should stick in the three spot in the lineup until he cools down? It's a great question, Austin. I think he should. And here's why. If Terang can keep doing what he's doing here, you put William, keep him in the two hole. You give him a little bit more protection here in the three spot with Churio. I would probably keep somebody, either Bowers or Hoskins, in the cleanup spot. I know Hoskins has been hitting sixth a lot, but I would love to have Hoskins be protection for Churio. Then you have Adames as protection for Hoskins. You can restart the lineup with like a Mitchell or Frelick behind Hoskins hitting sixth. Then you have Ortiz, and then you have the other outfielder, whether it's Mitchell or Perkins, and then you can figure out what you want to do with the DH. Maybe Gary moves things around a little bit there. I love the idea of Churio hitting three until you're told not to, basically, and especially leading off against lefties. I think that's really going to work out for him as well. Text here from Tom in South Dakota. Fitting on a day that Bronny was honored to hit some bombs. That's absolutely the truth in this one. Another one, it's a finally complete game for an important win. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. I'm going to heap praise on Terang for his defensive work today. If not for the two plays he made with the bases loaded early on, we may have easily been swept this weekend. If he doesn't win a gold glove this year, I'll be really disappointed. I agree. How about all of this to say that Bryce Terang had himself a great day, and he was rewarded as such by talking to Lane Grindle earlier today during the postgame show. Here's Bryce and Lane.
And Bryce Terang joining us now just outside the Brewers clubhouse. Bryce, this one has to feel great for a lot of different reasons, but to get one out of this series and to have a little momentum heading into that Braves series feels good, I'm sure. But let's talk about the two defensive plays that came in the third inning for you. I mean, a dive to the left, a dive to the right. It was almost like the beginning of a song or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just trying to make an out. I just, you know, so happened to be able to reach and catch him. But yeah, just trying to do my job, trying to lay out, trying to save some runs.
Those are pure reactionary plays. I'm sure there's not a ton going through your mind as you're making that play. It's just baseball instincts taking over, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, they're so – you know, the first one wasn't hit very hard, but still, those diving plays are all reaction. And it's such a reaction play, and you just got to go for it, you know.
Bryce, you had a nice day today at the plate as well. You get started off with the base hit in the bottom of the first inning. That preceded the two-run home run from Jake Bowers that gave you guys the lead at that point in time. But I thought your base hit that drove in the run in the fourth, that's the swing we've seen from you so often this year, being able to just go the other way and serve that ball into left field.
No, yeah, for sure. Just got to keep working, you know. Sometimes it gets out of whack, and you got to just keep working to get it back to where you want it to be. You know, and getting in the cage, working with Doss, calling my dad, seeing what my dad's got to say, you know, and getting back to staying inside the ball and hitting the other way.
That's something you've done so well over the course of this season. Bryce, I want to get your quick thoughts, too, on Devin Williams and getting him back and just being able to play behind him again. What a welcome thing for this club. This is a big lift for this team.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome, you know. Having him back helps, you know. He's one of the best closers in the game. And it's great to see him out there and competing again. And I know he's excited for it, and, you know, we're all excited for it, too. And I'm happy for him, man, you know. Get back out there and do what he loves to do, and it's fun watching him, and it's fun playing behind him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing for Devin, right? Like, it's a personal thing to get back on the mound and be able to do what he does and do it well. But I just have to think emotionally it's a lift for you guys collectively as a group, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like I said, he's one of the best closers in the game, you know, and having him on your side is definitely going to help, you know, for sure. And, yeah, and just he's going to keep doing his thing, you know. I'm happy he's back out there, and hopefully get him some more save opportunities and stuff like that and win some games.
You bet. Well, Bryce, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for giving us some time. Were you able to dodge the Gatorade bath pretty well, or did they get you?
No, I dodged it a little bit. They were a little mad at me. They're like, come on, man. And like, we grabbed the water this time because usually it's Gatorade, and then it leaves you all sticky. And
yeah.
But I was like, man, I let him at the end try to get me, and Perk missed. He shot the water straight over my head. So, yeah.
Yeah, if they saw you dive for the two balls in the third inning, they would know you got some quickness. It's not that easy. Even if it's a stationary target, it's still a little bit challenging. We appreciate it, Bryce. Thanks so much, and congrats on a great day today.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You bet. Bryce.
Bryce Terang here on WTMJ. Yeah, great stuff from him, to say the least. Real quick, want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, they're offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your at-home comfort is a top priority. Visit Sider.com today. Sider.com. How about Murph? He's coming up next on WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers win 6-2. Highlights coming in just a moment. I'm Dom Catronio. I'll be with you again tomorrow, as well as the Braves come to town. Brewers still in first place. And the manager in a lot better mood today after a 6-2 win. Here's Pat Murphy talking to the media.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, Terang's two diving plays, huge. Felt like things were going our way, you know, but Terang's two plays and Bowers' offense, you know, with Ellie out, and for him to step up the way he did today, Bowers and Bryce, and so many good performances today. Mitchell, you know, he hasn't played in 100 games, and all of a sudden, well, I don't know, 90 games, and, you know, it's great to see those guys start to pick up some of the slack that some of the other guys that have been injured or going through a spell here. But, yeah, it was much needed, much needed. And I thought the pitching, too. I thought Tobias didn't have his best stuff, didn't have his best outing, but he's been great for us all year and did get through four with, you know, give up one run. So hats off to him to battle through it, make big pitches, get out of some jams. Junis was great. Piamps was great. Milner was great, and what a great experience to have Devin. I thought it was a perfect landing for him, you know, and throw 25 pitches, give up a couple base runners. You know, he'll tell you he wasn't completely sharp or anything like that, but to get back out there is, yeah, I felt great about it. Yeah, I hope everybody sensed it, you know, like that's a great thing.
I know that baseball is a lot about just managing emotions, but just even for you, for where you're at from last night to this afternoon, just the vibe that you feel around this team coming off of a win like this and what it can do for your ball club.
Yeah, I can't get mad at the team. You know, you can't get mad at the players. It's about them. You know what I mean? It certainly isn't. My emotions don't matter. You know, it's about them. And I want them to understand so bad, you know, how great they have been. How great they've competed, And you can't control this game. You can only meet it halfway. You can't control it. And I just want them to understand how great they are, you know, and how they can bounce back and not to get down on themselves, you know, wash it off. It might be hard sometimes.
You got to do it.
But you got to do it. Discipline, right? Doing what you're supposed to do.
What you're supposed to do, whether you like it or not.
Might be hard sometimes.
But you got to do it.
Right. Worry.
It's always the time.
Brainwashing.
You mentioned Terang's play. I mean, obviously, that seems to be the difference in this game. The third inning with the bases loaded, two plays in a row.
One to his left, one to his right. Yeah, I've been saying it. You know, I felt like he was an all-star, but, you know, you can't control those things either. But this kid's been incredible, man. He's been incredible. I mean, if you look at the batting average, you're going to say, well, you know, he's fell off a little bit. This kid plays virtually every day the way Willie plays every day. William plays every day. You know what I mean? Those guys have been, you know, they show up to compete every day. And Terang is sincerely underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. He's taking the quantum leap, and he's trying to get back on the horse here after a little skid here the last few weeks. So good to see a good game from Terang. You'll hear those plays and some more highlights coming up next on WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Marlins finale of this one. Brewers unexpectedly trying to avoid a sweep, facing the rookie Kyle Tyler for the right-hander, and then Tobias Myers getting the ball for the crew. However, Tobias, for the third time this year, allowed a leadoff home run to start the game, but the Brewers were quick to respond in the bottom of the first with new cleanup hitter Jake Bowers.
First one to him. Fly ball deep right. It is out of here, and the Brewers have the lead. Beware of the first pitch to Jake Bowers. That is his eighth home run of the season.
Jumped all over a first pitch curveball, didn't miss it. The Brewers take a 2-1 lead heading into the second. Then Tobias would settle things down, a 1-2-3 frame. The Brewers left a couple stranded in the second, but then some stress in the third for Tobias. The bases were loaded with one out in the middle of the order coming up, starting with Jesus Sanchez.
1-2 pitch is lined into a diving stop by Terang. What a catch by Bryce. Ranging to his left, full extension, he caught it just before it got to the dirt.
And Bryce is so nice, how about he did it twice?
Crowd sensing the moment, putting their hands together to encourage Tobias. 3-2 pitch, lined into another diving catch by Terang, behind the bag at second, and the Brewers get out of it. Oh, Bryce Terang, what a show he put on in the third.
Give him the gold glove now, Lane Grindle's calls there on WTMJ. Then two innings later, the Brewers' offense woke up again with some timely offense. A one-out single by Hoskins, a double by Mitchell, second and third for Joey Ortiz.
2-0. And a chopper on the left side, charging his bride. His only play is going to be to put that baseball in his back pocket. Hoskins will score, safe at first is Ortiz. On to third goes Mitchell. It's a 3-1 Brewers lead.
And then, of course, when you make a couple of defensive plays, you're always going to come back up in a big spot, right?
And the first pitch. And Terang lines one into left. That's down for a base hit. Mitchell trots home from third to score. It's 4-1 crew. And there you go. Bryce Terang delivering again, his second hit of the day.
And let's put a cherry on top in the fifth inning. The kid, Jackson Churio, back in the lineup, putting a bang on
Huizingers. Don't get caught short. Here's a fly ball to center field. Back goes Gordon. Warning track and gone. Jackson Churio hits a home run, number 11 on the season, and the Brewers add another one.
Jeff Levering's call there. Add another on a sack fly from Reese Hoskins. The Brewers would win 6-2. Devin Williams would return with a scoreless ninth as well. A lot of good from this one. The Brewers still in first place in the division. We will wrap up the program here now. Back tomorrow, 7:10 first pitch. Coverage will begin at 6 with Brewers warm-up with yours truly. Then I'll be with you after the game as well for Brewers extra innings. Grant Holmes getting the ball for the Braves. Brewers will hand it to Colin Ray. First of three with the Bravos. Fun week of baseball ahead. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison, and for Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.